welcome to the Lisa Fisher Said podcast. I'm Lisa Fisher, a longtime broadcaster and journalist, and now a health coach based in Arkansas who's been in front of a microphone or a camera since the 1980s. I think of myself as the queen of Arkansas media. I started this podcast in 2020 to help you live a better life. In fact, I hope this podcast is the most informative 45 minutes or so of your week. For this episode, I'm chatting it up with my friend, Star McEwen. She's a rock star in the intermittent fasting community because she lost, I think, more than 80 pounds several years ago, and she's a fasting coach now. She's been on the program in the past, but for some of you, you'll get to meet her for the first time right after this. If you've ever listened to my podcast, you know that I've talked about my friend, Pat Becker-Wallace, who's a philanthropist in Arkansas and in Oklahoma, in fact. And she devotes a lot of her time, attention, and resources to help different organizations. One is the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra here. Another one is anything to do with dogs and animals and the rescues. In fact, her love extends beyond that. At dogtalktv.com, where I want you to go and check out the books, because one of them is a book she's written and all the proceeds benefit a different organization. The book is A Carriage for Cowboy. It is so sweet, and it's about it's kind of an old-timey sport of carriage riding and driving. So it benefits the American Driving Society Incorporated, and that supports carriage drivers in the United States and Canada through education, events, rules for competition, and licensing of officials. It's a great family event that you'll now see it at different competitions. So she's written this book, A Carriage for Cowboy, which is about her daughter and her daughter's horse, Cowboy, and it is so sweet. Adding that to your library is a good thing. Adding any of the books from dogtalktv.com is a very good thing because many of the proceeds, if it's one of her books, definitely goes to charitable organizations. She helps the rescues here, as I was saying, in central Arkansas, but there may be one near you that it helps. If you love animals, go to that website, buy some books. You'll be thankful you did. dogtalktv.com. I don't think it's any surprise to my listeners, and if you're new to my program, I say hi, that I love food. Really, journalism was my major, but we could say food was my minor. Like, I've always liked food. I like the science of food. I love cooking it, and I especially love eating it. Well, as a meat-based eater, that sometimes limits, or people think it limits my options. Not if you're in Little Rock, Arkansas, or Central Arkansas, because there's a magical place that God created more than 10 years ago called David's Burgers. Davidsburgers.com. These are the people that have been in the burger business a really long time, and they have really reinvented customer service. I love the fact they take Sundays off because they want you to worship with your family. I love the fact that they give so much to charitable organizations, especially adoption and foster care agencies. But the other thing they do is they're thinking about you for convenience, because now they've got something that helps you, the mom and dad, who are saying, what are we going to feed these humans? Because, you know, we don't always have time to get out and go to David's Burgers. But if you go today, provided it's not Sunday, and get the beef boxes, you can get T-bones, porterhouse, ribeye, roast, beef ribs, all these yummy things at David's Burgers. So convenience combined with high quality meats, you take it home. I think everybody wins. Davidsburgers.com.
She won most talkative in high school, and she has been running her mouth ever since. Welcome to the Lisa Fisher Said podcast with your host, Lisa Fisher.
All right, one of our favorite fasting friends, someone I've interviewed before, Star, just to remind people, and met you IRL, as the kids say, in real life, because we had a fasting powwow in March of 2022. And we're recording this, right? Yeah, in February of 24. Just remind people in case they missed that interview, because we realized that somehow that interview wasn't available in like my history of podcast. You had to reach out to Darren and get it. So because somebody, when they hear this story and if they've been a long time listener, may go, oh, I kind of remember, but we think you can now go back and find it. If you can't, we'll do what we can to get it for searchable. But remind everybody, remind me, if this is 2024, when did your journey with fasting begin? What year was that?
It was in August of 2019 is when I found intermittent fasting.
And your story is really incredible because of the weight. The amount of weight loss is nothing less than remarkable. And your physical metamorphosis, but really it's also your mindset, how it changed from being a chronic dieter with an eating disorder who, while doing the heavy workouts at the gym that people think they need to do, you are becoming more and more, we know now, start insulin resistant. Mm-hmm. And you were facing obesity. If you look at you now, you'd think that woman's never been obese, but you actually were obese. So let's go through that transformation and how your life changed.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've kind of had a lot of different walks throughout life and throughout my health journey, just in general. When I was a teenager, I had an eating disorder. I was actually diagnosed with anorexia and bulimia. I was 98 pounds in eighth grade. It was bad. Going to a nutritionist three times a week, counseling three times a week. It was just a nightmare.
Well, let's stop right there, because I don't know enough about eating disorders to understand. I know there is it dysmorphia when you think your body is one thing, but it's not. It's also high control. I mean, I hate to ask this question, but aren't anorexia patients, weren't you starving all the time? Weren't you hungry?
Yes, hungry. You're hungry all the time, but yet you're eating nothing and you're just right. Starving all the time. Like it's
so
just,
you were weak and shaky and hungry. The reason I want to set this up is because if someone is new to this fasting lifestyle and you and I go hard in the paint, right? I mean, I'm serious. I'm in the middle of a 48-hour fast right now. Y'all, I feel amazing. That's why fasting isn't starving, and because it's this metabolic switch that happens. So, and as a teenager, we always say, this is not recommended for teenagers anyway, intermittent fasting, because we don't want to impede somebody's growth, and insulin is a growth factor. But so how long did you suffer from anorexia and bulimia?
Quite some time. Let's see, probably from the time I was about 12 till 15 or so. Ugh. And then I got, it was bad. And then I got pregnant when I was 17. And so that's kind of what in a way made it all stop, because I felt like I had to be healthy to grow this baby. So then I just went crazy with eating. And since my body was used to starving itself or purging all the time, I just held on to the weight, and I gained like 75 pounds or something like that.
So it was kind of a rebound. It was really a metabolic rebound. Wouldn't you say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. Definitely. Like my body was just like, what in the heck are you doing? You're eating now. You're keeping it in. We're trying to grow this human. I mean,
well, let's think about that. If you've ever done, you know, like as an adult, as a perimenopausal and postmenopausal woman, when I had those 15 pounds come on, which happened in your 40s and 50s with no fault of your own, I would do the HCG diet, which I took either drops or shots for three, I can't remember, but I did it for like 3 weeks and I would lose 15 or 17 pounds. But after I got off the drops, which was an assist for me, right? It was my assistant. Mm-hmm. I would not binge and purge, but binge in that my body was so hungry because I'd starved it. I didn't realize I was starving it because they were telling us we were providing the HCG hormone, which the body uses during pregnancy, in fact, but I would get off it and I would be so hungry for like days. That's probably what happened to you, was you had deprived yourself for so long that your body said, come to me, mama. I've got to be fed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, so I felt like after I had her and then I had my, next three daughters, they're about my oldest, and then my next set or whatever is 3 years apart. And so, and then I had three every 2 years after that. And I was able to, yeah, I was able to gain weight and lose it, you know, with at home workout videos, just fine. I never went back to.
You were in your 20s. Let me just remind people, you were a teenager when you started and in your 20s.
I tell everybody that. Yeah. Like you have to remember, yes, I was a very young mom. So I was actually done having babies by the time I was 25. So.
That was really smart. I didn't start till I was 30 almost 30. So there's a big difference to your metabolism and your body. You young girls churn out those babies now and then and,
get it over with. Yeah.
Get it over with. Right.
Yes. Yes. So I was, like I said, I was able to kind of stay with it, work out, was doing, you know, Zumba instructor, CrossFit trainer.
That's
doing
right. CrossFit.
Strength training. Yes, I was doing it all. And I was doing, had coaches, nutritional coaches, workout programs that I paid hundreds of dollars for.
Wow.
I had to eat specific things. I had to eat at specific times before my workout, after my workout, a certain amount of calories and carbs. I mean, it was the math and all of it was just a nightmare. And then I was about 35 and I was trying to do all those things and the weight just kept piling on and piling on. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to meal replacement shakes. That worked back in my, 30s. I'm going to try that again. Went back to meal replacement shakes. That wasn't working. And so here I am eating hardly any calories, because if I'm counting calories, I'm in a calorie deficit. I just don't understand what's going on. Why am I getting fatter and fatter by the day? And then when the scales tipped 200, I remember being like, I was never even this weight when I was pregnant with my four children. So this is a serious problem. And I just remember looking in the mirror naked one time at a hotel room. And I don't know if this mirror was some horrible angle or what, but I just remember looking in the mirror thinking, I'm going to die. Like I have fat everywhere. And I just remember feeling so sad because I was like, what happened to me? Like what happened? And I felt like I was trying the things I knew to do, counting the macros, counting the calories. I was doing what we were told to do. Breakfast is the most important part of the day. Do that. And it wasn't working. And I was so sad and so depressed and just at my wit's end. And then in August of 2019, I had a high school best friend who we've kept in touch throughout the years, but this was a kind of random out of the blue text. And it was a picture of her and her mom. And I commented about how awesome she looked. Not only was she thin like she was in high school, but her skin looked amazing. Like she just looked young. She looked young. And I was like, wow, you look so good. What are you doing? And she said, well, I'm actually eating one meal a day. And I read a book called Delay, Don't Deny, and you should really read it. And so I was like, oh, I mean, one more diet in my head, you know? But I was like, well, what the heck? I'll give it a try. So I downloaded the book on Audible because I don't love to read. And listened to it. And I just felt like light bulbs were just going off. Everything was making so much sense. And then I thought, okay, I don't have to buy anything. I don't have to have monthly supplements of nothing. I don't have to go work out if I don't want to. I don't have to do anything but control my blood sugar, which will then control my insulin. And so all I got to do is stay hydrated, drink water. Water's the best.
Yes, I'm drinking. I'm doing unsweetened iced tea and I've had salt all day. So I get it.
Oh, well, and you're on your, you said, in the
longer
middle of
fast.
A big one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, but for the daily, if I'm not doing a longer fast or whatever, I just stick to water. It just seems more simple to me. For some reason, when I try to drink tea when I'm fasting, I throw up. I don't know why.
Really?
I literally get nauseous. Now, black coffee, I'm fine. If I drink like regular black tea that I've, steeped in everything, it makes me like nauseous for some
reason.
So I just stay away from that. Also, if the water is too cold and I drink it too fast, I get nauseous.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? Our bodies are so different and we're all so different. So remind me how tall you are. Cause I mean, we've stood by each other. Are you about 5'7"?
5'5".
Oh, 5'5". Oh, you were in heels, I think, that day when I met you.
Yes.
So 5'5", you got up to 200. Did you end up getting to 210?
I bet you I was, but the last number I saw on the scale was 207.
Oh, 207. Okay. I knew it was close because Jen Stevens, who of course is the person, she got 210 and she's about 5'5", and she wrote the book that you're talking about, Delay, Don't Deny, that I will put in the show notes just to remind everybody. And she also, really, your weight loss journeys are pretty congruent because she got down to the 120s. Now, as if anyone who knows her knows, she quit weighing in maybe 2017 or 18. I mean, because the scale's a liar. That's another thing people need to understand. As we age, the scale is a liar. I know I'm lifting. I'm doing serious lifting now 3 days a week. And I got on the scale today and I'm in the middle of a long fast. I don't even weigh, but I just thought, just curious. Right. And my weight's a little up, but you know, my pants are bigger and that's all that matters. And so that's another shift, another mindset. Star, we have to remind people, and I know you're a very encouraging fasting coach and you're available.
You want to know what I tell my clients about the scale?
I want to hear.
Okay. The scale is a tool that we have always used to help us know if we need to get on a diet or if we can finally stop the horrific diet that we're on, right? Like, we're always looking for that magic number so we can get off the dumb diet because we're miserable. We want to stop. Well, fasting, as you know, is not a diet. It is a complete lifestyle change that you're never, ever going to stop. So it really doesn't matter what the number on the scale says ever, because you're never going to stop fasting, because we fast for our health first and foremost. Then we need to eat for our goal. So whatever our goal is at the moment, whether you're somebody who's wanting to build lean muscle mass, or you have a lot of weight to lose, or you're trying to repair a fatty liver, or you're trying to reverse your type 2 diabetes, whatever it is, you are doing that and healing your body at a cellular level while you're fasting. That's just hands down what's going on. That's just why we stick to the clean fast beverages, so we can do that while we're fasting. And so it really doesn't matter what the scale says, because we know what we're doing for our body is so healthy. So no matter what that number says, I'm never going to stop fasting. And
never.
I'm not going to go, oh, the scale's up. I better hurry and do an extended long fast and over fast. And I better barely eat tomorrow. No, we have none of that. None of that.
We don't
mentality.
Punish ourselves. That's something we never. Tried to really make that clear. The diet culture and diet brain tells us to eat like a bird and then overindulge and then repeat by punishing yourself on Monday morning. And we don't do that. I was just curious one day what the scale said. So by looking at it today, I have to remember though, that these pants I have are too big because of building this lean body mass. And one thing I do want to encourage people over the age of 40, women, you have got to start lifting weights, heavy weights, because your muscle decline is rapid in those years. Once you get 40, or any perimenopause, or if you've gone through surgical menopause, or you're in your postmenopausal, and that is one of the things that fights the battle of osteoporosis, because it helps build bone.
You don't need to take calcium. We'll just talk about that another time.
You need sunlight, and you need to lift weights, and fasting is so valuable. So. Because people have said, I've been doing these once a week. I'm sorry, these longer 48. I was doing 42, but you know what? I wasn't even hungry at lunchtime. So I was like, I might as well. I mean, why eat if I'm not hungry? But again, I'm not punishing myself. I'm not on a diet. So I'm doing 48-hour fast. And out of curiosity, people have said, why are you doing this? And I said, you know what? I'm 61. I have peers around me all the time getting diagnosed with cancer, type 2 diabetes. Conditions that are from too much insulin, and insulin feeds, it's a growth factor, as I said earlier, and it feeds the weight on your body, and it feeds so many diseases and illnesses. So I know that's the point you've made too, is that we fast for our health. And Jen always says, we come to fasting for the weight loss, we stay for the health benefits.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What are your health benefits?
Well, I mean, the list is obviously huge, but the main things are got off like all antidepressants, got off my high cholesterol medication, got off my thyroid medication, my Hashimoto's, all the things they try to diagnose me with. Magically, my thyroid started working and they're like, oh, you need to come off your meds. So within like, I think 4 months of fasting, I was off all those. So, I mean, that in itself, just being able to move and do stuff, all the things that I missed out on because I was always hiding behind the camera. I didn't want a picture of me. I was a grouchy beast bear when I was that miserable. Mm-hmm. Like I was so like, when I think back on how I was to, you know, my loved ones around me, like, I'm like, I can't believe any of them stuck
around.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like I was really mean and it was because I was so unhappy and I was so frustrated and I couldn't figure out why. And it wasn't that I just wanted to lose weight. I felt terrible.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even get up and walk to take the trashes out without being like, oh, my back hurts or my shin splints. Like that was ridiculous. So like, I couldn't even try to go work out because I was so overweight and so inflamed that my joints just hurt. I was told I had rheumatoid arthritis like this.
Unbelievable.
You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy what inflammation will do to your body. And you have to trust the process. That's all I can say. And understanding that this is a whole lifestyle change. You know, in the very beginning of fasting, I kind of did treat it like a diet. And I kept telling myself, when I get to my goal weight, I'm going to be able to da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. I think we all do, but we feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a crazy thing that happened to me the other night. I was sitting with a doctor at dinner, and that was the last time I ate. So this is Monday, and that was Saturday night, and we had a very decadent meal. And I must have said something, because I usually don't. I mean, if you're not in the fasting space, you think it's crazy that somebody has these long fasts. So I typically don't share it that much. And I must have said something, because my husband was across the table, and we were both doing this longer fast. His isn't as long as mine. Because his goals are different. He doesn't need to lose weight, and I don't need to lose weight, but I'm doing it for a deep autophagy. And so I put my fork down and I said something. I said, I'm really full now, which is fine because I'm getting into a longer fast. I mean, do a 48-hour fast. And the doctor looked at me and said, just call my office and I'll get you some Ozempic. And I went, no, that's not what I want. Isn't that funny, though? That is a knee-jerk reaction of the medical community that Big Pharma incentivizes because the doctor has never read a paper on autophagy because there's no drug to promote it. So they're in the dark. Now, it's not their fault. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm just saying his paradigm is different from mine. And I said, well, I don't want to take Ozempic. That's not my goal. I have no interest. And Chris said, what I should have said was, well, really, we don't want to take medicine. We don't want to take pharmaceuticals. We want to see what we can do with our body. Now, if I ever had to take, if I broke a leg, obviously I would go see a doctor. I'd go to a hospital. I'd have the surgery and I would have to take the painkiller, of course. But I don't want to have a tray of pills in the morning to take as I age. But it's so different from most people go to the doctor. They need a drive-through window. They drive up going, hey, my hip hurts, my butt hurts, my head hurts. What you got? And the doctor leans out the window and says, there's your order. Drive through. And so we just have a different mindset. But I just thought it was so funny. His first reaction to me doing a 48-hour fast was, I can get you some Ozempic. I don't want it.
Yeah. Why would you want to put those chemicals into your body paralyze your gut. That's what it does.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it is. Yes. I mean, we know it slows down the gastric emptying to the point where people have gastroparesis. So tell me, so we've known each other. I interviewed you. Was that in 2020, 2021?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I interviewed you again here in my home with Laurie Lewis when we did our fasting meetup and Jen Stevens was here. So in that time, we both are health coaches and health fasting coaches. Have you noticed in the last year that the decline in interest in intermittent fasting is dropping because those clients that used to come to me
now go to their doctor and get Ozempic.
Have you noticed a decline in interest?
Well, I've noticed a decline in people, you know, reaching out to want to be coached. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? Like, I'm over here going, look, this is on a silver platter. It's free and it's simple. And everyone's like, no, they would rather inject. It's hard. Yeah. But I have seen a decline. So that's interesting that you say that. But like you always say too, follow the money.
Absolutely. I mean, we could go on and on. If you do any type of math at all, you see what Novo Nordisk does, who sponsors the news, I mean, doctors are incentivized. We know that. That's not a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people are incentivized. Callie Means was just on Tucker Carlson talking about, I mean, the behind the scenes of what goes on with Big Pharma being incentivized, and his sister's Dr. Casey Means, who's with the Levels group that does the continuous glucose monitors. And just the shift of our mindset of, I'll just take a shot for the rest of your life.
And then the side effects, I don't understand, because, you know, with fasting, there's absolutely no side effects.
They're good ones.
They're good side effects. Yeah. I was going to say the side effect is weight loss and you get healthy and to me, fasting is like the fountain of youth. You know, you see that fast, they completely look so
young. Their
skin
looks better. Their hair looks better. Yeah.
Yeah. When I tell people I'm a grandma, they about fall over.
Well, you are amazing. I do wish people could see you, and they need to go to your social media. It's at Love My Fasting Life on Instagram. That's her handle. It is remarkable, your metamorphosis from being obese and where you are now. Your upper arms look like you've been in the gym for 30 years, and you've told me, you go, I haven't walked in a gym in years. And your upper arms are amazing.
I actually went to the gym about a year and a half ago. Okay, well, there's a little bit deeper of a story here.
I'll tell you who's crushing 2024. It's the folks in Scott, Arkansas, just 15 minutes from downtown Little Rock. And the property is Marlsgate. Marlsgate.com. Link is in show notes. But for those of you who would like to know more about this majestic property, you can go to their website and see kind of the drone footage they've got. You can see on my social media, which is all open, the times that I'm there. I'm their spokesman. And it's such a privilege to do that, because this property is so lovingly, tenderly taken care of by Martha Ellen and Bo Talbot, who are just the third owners of this historic mansion in Central Arkansas, actually just 15 minutes from downtown Little Rock. So those of us in Central Arkansas, why haven't you gone? I'm hosting cooking classes there. I also want to invite you to Scott Station, which is the restaurant there on Highway 165. Guys, some of the best food I've ever had, not even kidding. And then there's the shops there at Scott, and then Curve Market. We're getting into spring, so that means we will see the spring bounty and the summer bounty of locally raised fruits and vegetables. You're helping the community. You're helping the community of Scott, and you're walking away with a full tummy if you eat at Scott Station. Find out more by going to their website, marlsgate.com. Oh, girl, they are busy at Akel's Carpet One. Now, for the dudes listening, you know, I say that as a term of endearment. But my point is, they are busy at Akel's Carpet One. I guess I could have said it that way. Akel'sCarpet1.com is the website for those of us in Arkansas. You know the three locations, the one on Rodney Parham in West Little Rock, the one in Sherwood, right off the interstate, the access road, and then the one, the big new store in, that's technically North Little Rock, but we call it Ma Mill. And I say all that because I've been to all the stores and I've seen it. And I'm on their website right now, and it's the whole enchilada sale. Doesn't that sound great? You know, I would love one right now. Free labor, pad, furniture moving, and carpet take up. You can start your project today. You click here, blah, blah, blah. Or you can just go and kick tires. You might see Erica at the Maumelle North Little Rock store, you might see. So, you know, they have different people that are kind of there, and they really know the trends. They know, well, here's the deal. They know they can help you at the cost because they beat the big box store prices at Akles Carpet One. And do I need to repeat that? They beat the big box store prices. They've got carpet, luxury vinyl, tile, all the good things, and they can help you. Friendly people, too. You might see their ads if you're here in Arkansas, or you might just be a listener to the Lisa Fisher Said podcast. And when they ask you, why did you shop here? You'll say, because Lisa Fisher said. AklesCarpet1.com.
But it literally is, I physically can't work out because of situations going on. And it was hard because I was actually kind of having fun with working out this time. Like, it was unlike any other time before. And I think it was because I wanted to. I didn't have to work out to lose weight. I was already at my goal weight. I was just like, hey, this sounds fun. I kind of want to build some muscle. Let's do this. And then I got injured to the point where I can't go back, and it's very maddening. It's very frustrating, but, and you know, and I know I'm going to start walking at least because I do so much sitting with my coaching and everything and making content that I'm like, I need to get some vitamin D. I need to get out there and do stuff like
Girl,
that. But
you're in Arizona. That's God's country with vitamin D.
I know that is true. That is true. We take it for granted here.
You really do. In fact, we have a little cold spell in Arkansas in January, usually December and January. And January we had snow and then we had rain for 2 weeks that I was coming home in a rainstorm with my husband driving. And I started looking up flights to Phoenix, but guess what? It was starting their rainy season in February. I thought I just need to go to Arizona. So I looked at flights to Miami and my husband said, well, and now it's all gone, but there are some dark winter days that we have for 10 minutes. I really don't see how people that live in northern climates have what their mental health. I mean, I admire them. Okay, let's go back and do math. Your highest weight was 207 that you know of. Mm-hmm. And then I know just because, are you like a size 2 or 4? There's nothing to you. I mean, your hips are about that wide and your arms are, you know, with little sticks.
I was a size 2 when I first... And I, for, you know, after a year of fasting, and then, you know, I had a hysterectomy 2 year. Well, no, sorry. 1 year ago, I had a hysterectomy. Only 1 year. It'll be 1 year in April. So I'm actually only, you know, 11 months out or whatever. Things have gotten a little, I don't know what the hell's happening.
I know. Okay. It's hormones.
Okay. Here's the thing, you guys, here's why the scale is absolutely trash. Good. Right now, I weigh the exact same that I did when I was a size 2. My clothes, I don't feel comfortable in a 2 anymore. I like being in a 4. The 4 is loose on me, so I don't feel like, but the 2 is just, I feel like I'm too tight. And so in my head, I got fatter, but I didn't because the scale says I didn't. But I'm like, when I see myself, I don't see a difference, whether it's a 2 or a 4, and the weight is the same. So, I'm just like, it has something to do with everything shifted after the hysterectomy. I don't freaking know what's going on. I'm really hormones. Thinking about going to get the hormone. I'm thinking about going to get checked just because my doctor told me I didn't need to because I have my ovaries still.
I'm sorry. I'm going to breathe in this paper bag for a moment and then vomit.
I know. I watch you all the time say it, HRT. And I'm like, no, Lisa, I need to. So,
and the benefits are, this is what Dr. Mary Claire Haver and other experts say, is it can actually prevent cardiovascular disease and dementia. Let's say that again. Do you know anyone in their 20s with cardiovascular disease or dementia? No. Because their estradiol, estrogen are working well. Mm-hmm. So that it's cardioprotective, and it also has something to do, it does have a component with dementia prevention. Again, everyone can Google that. I don't have the science in front of me, but I've seen it. So that's why. And then it does have something there. Did those mean people at least give you progesterone so you don't have 4 a.m. wake ups?
No, but I'm actually sleeping fine.
Okay.
You know, I don't know.
That's usually the first complaint people have is, even though of your ovaries, well, they're like, oh, now wake up at 4 a.m.
I was just going to say, you know what, though, now that you're saying that, I just thought it was stress related. But now I'm wondering if it could be related to the hormones. I was waking up so early and I'm not a morning person necessarily. And I was waking like what you say, 4 or 5. And I'm like, it's still dark outside. Why am I awake?
Yeah.
So that was happening to me. But then I took like a couple nights of melatonin, a tablet just before bed, and I slept really great. And then it must have shook itself off because I haven't had to, you know, take anything since then.
But you start seeing then that you start gaining weight really for no reason. And sometimes we have to tweak our fasting schedule. Have you gotten to that point in your life? You feel like, is your fasting schedule what it was back in 2019?
I feel like I'm more strict on myself now in a way than I was back then. Cause when I first found fasting, I was not doing the whole eating for my goal. I was not conscious of seed oils.
Yeah, me neither.
I was not like that. No, all that has evolved over time. Like that's what I try to tell everybody. In the beginning, I was just trying to clean fast. I was just doing exactly what Jen did, about a 19-ish hour fast, you know, open with a snack, have meal. I mean, that's what I was doing. Yeah. Now I'm very conscious on what I break my fast with, because I absolutely believe that that sets the tone for the rest of the day. So I will, you know, I really go off of how my day is feeling, but I do like getting to around 20-ish plus hours fasted. Yeah. But on days that, you know, I might decide I'm going to eat at noon today. And as long as what I'm going to be breaking my fast with is a good high protein meal, then I'm like, I'm good with it. But if I'm just like, oh, I kind of want to grab a bite of this, I'm like, no, if I just want a bite of something, it's not worth it. It's not, I'll wait till I can have an actual meal. You know, I never break my fast with a sugary drink, a protein shake, nothing like that, because it spikes your blood sugar too bad. Even a protein shake, I know people come at me all the time for this, but I'm like, have you ever worn a CGM and see what that protein shake does to you? So, and if you're doing the exact same thing every day and you're plateaued or something's not working, it's because you're being too rigid with your fasting protocol. And probably you're also doing the exact same eating window every single day, which I don't believe is good either. There's some days I have a 1 or 2 hour eating window, and then there's some days I have a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
So it really just changes and moves all the time, you know, and remembering that our days don't have to add up to 24. I will fast for 22 hours and I might eat for 5 or 6. So, you know, it just depends. It just depends on what my day is doing. Is what I'm going to eat window worthy? If I'm on vacation, I still fast because I sleep.
Oh, absolutely.
But I just wake up and I see what happens. If everybody else is, you know, I don't like breakfast though. I am not a breakfast person. So I am never, ever, ever tempted by breakfast food. And like, I just don't love it. You know, I don't like eggs. I can stand hard boiled eggs, but I don't love any kind of a scrambled, over easy, nothing like that.
And, I know it
because everybody tells me, try the egg on the avocado toast.
And I know.
It grosses me out so bad. So, I just choose to not have, because that's basically your only protein in the mornings, because we know oatmeal's terrible. We know pancakes are terrible.
Protein bars are crap. I mean, all of it's crap. Really, eggs. Mm-hmm. If you had cheese and maybe avocado,
cheese and sausage. You know, some healthy sausage.
That's true.
You know, some sort of other meat. You know, maybe even ham. I don't know, but something protein wise, bacon, steak. Yes, exactly. Steak and eggs would be perfect. But that's just not my jam. So my jam is more lunch foods and dinner foods. So then people get real hung up on, but do you eat one meal and one snack and this and that? I'm like, I eat my main meal and then I see how I feel the rest of the day. Some days if I eat enough good food that satiated me enough and had enough good high protein in it and vegetables, I'm just not going to be hungry. I'm good. But if I ate too much filler food or too many ultra processed foods or something like that, I'm probably going to be hungry in like 2 hours.
Well, let's talk about, so the CGM is one thing I'm really encouraging all of my clients to get. It's about $75. Your insurance won't pay for it. It's for 2 weeks. That's kind of the minimum, and it is a prescription. But it takes a peek into what insulin, or really glucose, is doing with your meals. And if insulin, we know if you're insulin sensitive, your glucose comes down pretty rapidly after that meal. But if it stays hung up at 150, 160, or anything above, then you're insulin resistant. Your insulin's job is to take the glucose and push it to the cells. And in fact, something that happened to you, I use an example in my fasting classes. And that was the time that you had not eaten and you had to sit in a court case and you had to testify under oath. And what that shows what the cortisol did. It made you insulin resistant immediately. You had not eaten in 20 hours, yet your glucose was like 150.
It was huge. It was actually way bigger than that. It was like 170. Wow. And I never even see that when I eat cake.
Isn't
when
that
I
amazing?
Came home and I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
Okay. So do you wear a CGM now?
I was actually getting ready to put one on today, but I'm going to get a spray tan. So I decided it was a bad idea to put it on today. I'm going to wait till probably tomorrow, but yeah.
And which one do you like? Do you like the levels or the ones that are more detailed and expensive?
Well, I mean, I do use NutriSense. I collaborate with them or whatever. So that's just who I use, but they are expensive. I mean, they really are. But to me, the data that you get is invaluable because people will think they can have this or they can have that, or this doesn't spike there. But then when they actually wear that and they can test it, you know, but the only thing hard about that is, you know, if you're trying to test one thing, you can only eat that one thing, and then you have to sort of wait 2 hours to actually test it. So,
that's a good point. It's the combination of things. You mm-hmm. really have to pull things out if you're looking for the data. So, this is what people need to understand. The CGM is so valuable because so many people will say, so-and-so, I can eat that because it doesn't bother me. Well, it may not hurt your stomach, you know, or it may not bloat you, but if it's impeding insulin's job to take the glucose, or because we want your insulin low so that you can tap into your fat stores and so you can lose the weight. All right. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can get there. So that's probably why your weight is still in those size 2 or 4s, even if it's a 4, it's because you really monitor what you're eating. Tell me some things that you eat that cause STARS body for that. And you really, I mean, this sounds crazy, but you don't want your glucose above 120. But doctors will tell you 150 is fine. What we're saying, no. If you want longevity, if you don't want dementia, if you don't want to feed the cancer, keep your insulin low. Right. So what are some foods and how you react to them?
Well,
like beans and rice. Because you live in the Southwest. There are a lot of beans and rice on the plate in Arizona. That will cause me a spike if I'm not careful.
Beans and rice are a complex carbohydrate when eaten together. So when you eat both of them, and then I usually just eat protein with it. Like the other day, I had a giant plate of shredded beef, and then I had rice and beans with it. And so when I'm eating, I try to focus on the beef first.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm front loading with actual protein first like that, it's going to help to control my blood sugar a lot better. So I can eat things like the beans and rice and the meat, but it's the order and how I eat it that I can still test it. And I don't cause a spike. It'll be crazy things that will end up causing, you know, a spike, like eating pineapple, you know? And so it's the fruits too that we think, different things like that. And again, it's really, really the order that you eat it in, because I ate a piece of cake and tested it on my CGM, and I tested it with eating a really good balanced meal beforehand. Like I believe I had a really big piece of salmon and some vegetables and a little bit of quinoa or something like that. Ate that all gone. And then I ate the cake, and then within 2 hours, I didn't even go up in past 125.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's impressive. So it really does mitigate the glucose and the insulin response.
It really does.
Wow. That is really shocking. So the last time, I need to do it again. I need to call my provider and just have one done just to see what I'm doing. Because as we age, we do become more insulin resistant. We do push out more cortisol as we age. And that's why women will say, well, in my 50s and 60s, I got the menopause belly and you know, the apron, the menopause apron. And then, you know, I had this and this. And it's not that you're lazy or you're eating too much. It's you're just more insulin resistant because of cortisol.
Right.
So manipulating it with food stacking helps.
Yes. And the fake sugar really does not, that doesn't matter any difference. Like I'm into, you know, follow me. So you probably see me post about my protein creamies that I eat, the protein ice cream. So it's basically a protein shake frozen. And then you put it in this machine and it turns it into ice cream.
I know it looks amazing.
Amazing.
Yes.
Hey, well, I'm going to be testing this some more because I need to really try to debunk it is what I need to do. But I had a creamy and my CGM spiked throughout the night. Once I went to bed, it spiked to like 160.
Really?
And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if it was the creamy, but here, this creamy that has no sugar in it and all this and that, that is supposed to be so healthy for me. Did it really spike my, so I need to really debunk it and see what's going on. But also, you know, if I make a creamy, I might put some, you know, caramel sauce on it. So is that little bit of caramel sauce canceling out the goodness of, you know, it's like.
Yeah. That shows how individual we are too, though. And that's why it's such invaluable, as we're talking about just data, that if you get the CGM, you see how you do. I had a client and she was overweight. She started, was super excited and had done her first. She was doing like 18-hour fast. She went to the Mexican restaurant. And of course, they bring out chips and salsa and the margarita, which it was 220. Her CGM was 220. Her glucose.
Oh, wow.
And then she had the fajitas. And I said, well, next time, flip-flop that.
Yeah.
And
that's what
don't do the chip and dip.
The other day, we went to a Mexican restaurant just 2 days ago. And my daughter, we were starving. And we sat down and she starts going crazy on the chips and salsa. And I told her, I'm like, try to slow up a little bit. You're going to get so full. And she's like, I don't know how you're just sitting there. I am so hungry. And I'm like, I am too. I'm ready to eat my right arm off. I understand. But I'm like, but I am waiting until my meal comes. And so I waited till I got my meal. I ate some of the meat. And then I'm like, okay, now I want a chip. And I ended up eating six chips, because I was curious and I counted. And if I would have went ahead and ate when the chips and salsa only got sat down, we would have plowed through two baskets easily. And then I wouldn't have got, you know.
That's such a good reminder. Okay, here's something that Megan Ramos, I interviewed her, you know, Dr. Fung's kind of assistant and all of his research, and she has her own book and she's great. But the thing I'm seeing now in my maturity as an intermittent faster, I started in 2017. I only had 15 pounds to lose, but I had a mindset that I had to change. I had, I look forward to every day. I dreaded days then because I was like, why am I gaining weight? Like, it just is so baffling because I wasn't sitting around eating more. Nothing had changed. It was perimenopause. But one thing she really encourages people to do once they get to a point where the scale stops or the measuring tape doesn't move, because a lot of things we say, just measure your waist. If your waist is getting smaller, you're becoming insulin sensitive. And that's what matters. You're losing your visceral fat. But let's say it stops. She's the one who says you need to go into these longer fasts. So have you ever done a longer fast?
Oh, yeah. I love them. I'm doing one right now. I'm just starting it, though. I just started last night. So okay. I'll not eat today and then, you know, have my update tomorrow. But I love them. I love how I feel. I love how my body feels.
It's insane.
Energy.
I will say this. So Chris did this one with me and my son was saying, and my daughter-in-law, how do y'all feel right now? He said, really, the hardest hours are hour 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26.
Yeah.
And I was kind of pissy yesterday. I was like, because it just sounded good. They were all eating downstairs because my son and his wife are living with us till he gets his job assignment. And so, you know, fine, y'all eat, have a good time without me. But, you know, I woke up today and I honestly forgot I was fasting because it's 1 o'clock here. I have no hunger. I haven't eaten in maybe 38 hours, 40. I mean, I can't remember when we put our forks down Saturday night, but I really feel better you feel better on the back end, on the end of the longer fast. The hardest part is the first, I'd say those 6 hours between 22 and about 20, maybe 5 hours, hour 27, you're kind of hungry because your body thinks it's time to eat, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it to push through and get through that little hump, you know, whenever your eating window
is. That's it. Your body's saying, why are we eating?
Wait a minute, why are we eating? And then you're like, we're not doing that today. But I do love the up days. You know, the up days are awesome to be able to eat twice and throughout the day and stuff like that.
So then you kind of live an up. So we call this an alternate day fast or up day, down day is kind of how Jen talks about it too. So do you kind of live like that? Because on your social media, you'll show, and y'all, she puts the feed bag on after you'll have like a 24-hour fast and you go to the In-N-Out Burger, you get this, 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 and this, and then you feel great and then you start over. So do you like doing up and down days? Is that your best approach?
No, I actually like eating every single day. So I lost the majority of my weight and got to my first goal weight by February of 2020 when I first did my first podcast recording with Jen Stevens when I was first on her podcast. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so I was already at my original goal weight, which was 140. And then, I started seeing the meal-less days being posted by Roxy. And I was like, I kind of wanted to just see if I could do it. I'm kind of competitive. And so I was kind of competitive.
You're so a mom to six. You used to do CrossFit. Yeah. No, you're competitive.
Yeah. So I'm like, I just want to see if I can do one. And so I did one. I felt amazing. And then of course the scale does what it does. So you get all like, okay, like this is kind of cool. And then she just was doing one down day every week. So on Mondays was the down day and then Tuesdays was our up day. So we just kind of like did that for a while. And so I was in that routine for a little while and about until I was almost a year into fasting, went on to lose another 14 pounds and then been maintaining in that range this whole time. But so now my fasting protocol is just mainly OMAD.
One meal a day.
Yep. One meal a day, get to my, but of course we eat more than one, just one meal.
Yes. Right.
I do try to break my fast with that meal if and when possible, you know. And then I just kind of go from there and see what happens. Sometimes I have my meal and then I might have two snacks. And sometimes I have a meal and another small meal or I don't know. It just depends.
It's just whatever.
It's just whatever. Yeah. You know, right now anyways in maintenance. And then when I go out of town, we go to Disneyland. We do these things like I eat the junk. I eat the stuff. I have the things.
Live
I know
your
I'm
life.
Not, I live life. And then you know what? Yes. I know I'm going to come right home. I'm going to be able to get the inflammation off immediately by going right back to my normal fasting protocol. There's no guilt. There's no shame. I don't feel bad. And I'm living life. And then I go back to trying to be as clean, you know, as I can on the daily. And that's what matters. What we do daily is what matters. Not here, there. We don't have mess ups. We don't fall off wagons.
There's no wagon.
None of that.
There's no cheat meals. Yeah. None of that. And so the people don't correct me. She is a mom, including stepkids to six. But you birth force, but you're still a mom to those others. So that's why I wanted to include that. And a grandmom to one.
Yes, I am.
Isn't it magical?
The best. It's so magical.
Magical. I mean,
yes.
Y'all keep having those grandbabies. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it too.
I know.
Definitely.
Star, you're a doll. You're so inspiring, beautiful inside and out. I know you personally, and you can come to Little Rock anytime. Darren, my producer, will take you on the town and we'll have our one meal together.
Yes, yes, let's do it.
Thanks for doing this today.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for listening to the Lisa Fisher Said podcast. If you would, leave a review and follow the show. This podcast is produced by ClintonCreative.com. It's Lisa Fisher time.